This morning's reading comes from the Gospel of John, starting at verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is the Sunday after Easter. The real name for it in the church year is the second Sunday of Easter. Easter is a season of seven Sundays of 50 days. We call this season the Great 50 Days. And we've just heard from John 20, beginning in verse 19, the story of Jesus' appearance to his disciples while they were huddled in fear, and then his appearance to Thomas, to doubting Thomas. If we back up just a little bit into chapter 20, we get into the fourth gospel's telling of the story of the empty tomb. In chapter 20, verse 11, Mary Magdalene stands outside the tomb of Jesus, and she's weeping. This is not an unusual thing to do at a grave. I've been to hundreds of graveside services, and sometimes people weep and wail the whole time. Other times, though, what I've noticed is you'll see people who want to work very hard to keep it together. And so they'll get out of the car at the cemetery, and they'll joke around with the other people who've come to stand with them. They'll keep a straight face. "Thank you for coming. Yes, yes, we'll miss him. Good to see you." And then they turn their eyes and they begin to walk up that hill. And when they see that green tent and they see that carpet and they see that open grave, and they take a seat in one of those folding chairs that's covered with one of those green or blue slip covers, then they break down. Then they weep. Mary Magdalene stands outside the tomb of Jesus and weeps, yes, because her teacher and her Lord is dead, but also because she's looked in the tomb and he's not there. And she assumes, as one would, that somebody has come and has taken the body of Jesus. "They've taken my Lord, and we don't know where they put him." She looks into the tomb again, and this time she sees right where Jesus' body was lying. She sees angels, one where his head would have been and one where his feet would have been. And the angels speak to Mary, and they say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she's so overcome with grief that the fact that they're angels in the tomb is lost on her. She just carries on a conversation with them. "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." And then she turns around And she sees Jesus standing behind her, but she doesn't recognize him. She doesn't know that it's Jesus. And John says she assumes that he's the gardener, a gardener of some kind, who's out early in the morning. And she says, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will come and take him away." And then Jesus says her name. He says, "Mary." And instantly, she knows that it's him. She knows that he's alive. And she cries out, "Rabbi, teacher." We don't know how long they stood there in the graveyard talking, Jesus and Mary Magdalene. But when the conversation was over, she ran and she told the disciples, the men, "I've seen the Lord." Those are her words. "I've seen the Lord," as in recently, as in a few minutes ago. "I've seen the Lord. He's alive. He's back. He's risen." John also doesn't record their reaction, but we can make more than an educated guess about how the disciples responded, because later that evening, this all took place early in the morning, but later that evening, the passage that Amber just read, the disciples are gathered together. This is the same day. This is Easter Sunday, the very first Easter Sunday. Later that day, the disciples are gathered together behind locked doors, huddled in fear. They've heard the Easter good news. "I've seen the Lord. He's alive." But by that evening, they're still huddled in fear. And it's as if they've heard, but the news has not hit them. I have to confess that I've been critical of the disciples here more than once. Okay, maybe every year, actually, when I preach on this passage, I'm critical of the disciples. "Oh, don't they know? Why is their faith so shallow? Jesus told them, after all, didn't he, that this was going to happen? I'm going into Jerusalem. I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. Why didn't they listen?" Preachers are good at that. The implication is, if I had been there, I would have done differently. I would have looked at that scared group of disciples and said, "Oh, come on, guys. He said it was going to be like this. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go out into the world and share the gospel. Let's be happy." I think that as I look on that, I just want to look back at myself every time I've said that and say, yeah, right. The disciples are just as human as we are. They've just been through something terribly traumatic. They've given their lives. They've given 3 years of their lives to this man, to this ministry. They've left everything to go somewhere new, and now it's been taken away quickly, tragically, violently. You don't just get over that. And when you and I are in the midst of grief and loss and trauma, we don't just get over that. Somebody can't just say to us, "Hey, snap out of it," and then we're okay. We're just as human as they are. I've heard more than one person remark at how beautiful these last few days have been. Everything is in bloom. The sky is blue. People are sneezing. It's just like spring is supposed to be. And yet we can't see it sometimes and appreciate it for what it is, because we're numb, because we're mourning the loss of what was. We're still coming to terms with what's going on. The poet, the late Brian Doyle, says, "Sometimes we hunger to see what's right in front of us." And so Jesus comes to the disciples while they're hunkered down in fear, while they've heard but not yet believed. That's when Jesus comes to them. It's really appropriate that on this second week of Easter that we read this story and we remember that Jesus comes to us in the middle of the great celebration, but Jesus also comes to us when we are hunkered down in fear. And that these are both Easter stories. Mary's cry of, "Rabbi, I've seen the Lord, he's alive." Yes, that's an Easter story. But hiding behind locked doors, being on lockdown, that's also an Easter story. I remember Easter as a child, waking up early before the sunrise. I remember we would have sunrise service with the Baptist church and the Presbyterian church nearby. And I remember standing in a gravel parking lot, huddled up against my parents because it was still so cold and the wind would blow. And we would stand there with these strangers and people from our church, and we would hear passages like this read, and we would sing songs like, from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. And then we would go back to the church and we would have sausage and eggs just like the Bible says you're supposed to. And then the church would be filled with people and we would have a great worship service. And then we would go over to a friend's house and we would play in their field. We would cook out and we would play. We would fly kites. We would hunt Easter eggs, and we would stay outside until it got too dark, and then we would go home. That was Easter. And I remember one year noticing that it rained on Good Friday, and it was beautiful on Easter. And I was just starting to understand what Good Friday and Easter were. And it seemed right to me that it would rain on Good Friday and that it would be beautiful on Easter. And I said to my mom, I said, it always rains on Good Friday, and it's always pretty on Easter. And she didn't say much, but I remember she said, not always. Not always. I can remember one or two Easters where it rained. I can remember a few Easters where we had a glorious celebration and then got some tragic news. Just last year, we had a beautiful Easter, and then we learned that our sisters and brothers at a church in Sri Lanka were victims of a bombing on Easter. On the day of life, on the day of resurrection, death showed up. Last Sunday night, Kathleen and I stayed up way too late for adults watching a movie. That was, I guess, part of our Easter celebration. It was late enough that we started to check the weather and realize that we were under a watch for some severe weather. And then, before I went to bed, I checked social media and I saw that my hometown of Chattanooga was already under siege. And I texted a friend of mine who lives down in that greater Chattanooga, Cleveland area, and I said, are you okay? Praying for you tonight. Nothing. Nothing. We decided, since they were under the same watch that we were, that we would go into our guest bedroom to be a little closer to our daughter. 3:30 in the morning, I hear my phone buzz. I pick it up. It's my friend. All he says is, we're okay, but it's bad. And I write back, what's going on? Nothing, nothing, nothing. At 5:30, it buzzes again. We're okay, still surveying the damage. My heart sunk, my stomach dropped as I read the news about the storms that had hit just down the road from us, and I thought about how on that same day, how many people had died from coronavirus. And I thought, God, could you not suspend the storms for one day? Could we not just have a break? Could there not just be a truce? Just one day, just for Easter. Could we not have a day off from stuff like this? The disciples are behind locked doors. They are gathered in fear. The storms have hit. They've heard the good news, but it hasn't sunk in. And that's where Jesus enters. In the middle of all that, Jesus just shows up in the middle of their fear, in the middle of their doubt. And he does it again a few verses later for Thomas, who also refuses to believe. He's heard the news and he refuses to believe. And Jesus just shows up. And both times he says, peace be with you. And here's what I know about Jesus. Jesus loves to show up. The risen Lord comes to our celebrations, but he also comes to the places where we hurt. Look closely at the stories of resurrection in the Bible, and I think that you will see that the resurrection is not God just snapping his fingers and making it all go away and making it all nice all at once. Instead, it's how Jesus died and was called back to life by God the Father and sent right back to the ruins of the lives of the people that he loved. And they were in fear. They were in grief. They were in loss. They were in trauma. The resurrection is not a painkiller that we take for a little while and feel good and then it wears off. The resurrection is our God's stubborn insistence on continuing to come to us in the middle of whatever, wherever we are and whatever is going on. Comes to his huddled disciples. He comes to doubting Thomas. He comes to Mary who is weeping and says her name. He doesn't go to a palace. He doesn't go on vacation. He goes where the pain is. It was Easter many, many years ago. Church was full. We had enough Easter lilies to make everybody sick. The brass played, the organ thundered, the congregation lifted its voice. It came time for the sermon, and a woman from the congregation came up to read the gospel lesson. The pastor was wearing a robe, the choir was wearing a robe, the acolyte was wearing a robe, but she was just wearing a beautiful, bright Easter dress. And she brought her Bible up to the podium, and she began to read from John chapter 20 about the empty tomb and Mary Magdalene. And she read like a school librarian reading to small children. Beautiful, clear, just gets you on the edge of your seat as if you're hearing it for the first time. And she got to that part where Mary looks into the tomb and she sees two angels and they say, "Woman, why are you weeping? Because they've taken my Lord away and I don't know where they have laid him." And then she turned and she saw Jesus and she did not know that it was Jesus. Supposing him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will come and take him away." And just then, her clear teacher voice stopped. We thought she lost her place. And her voice broke as she said, and Jesus said, "Mary." Like Mary, she began to weep. And she lost it for a moment, and then she pulled it back together, and she finished reading the story, the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. And she sat down and the preacher got up and tried to preach, but the sermon really had already been preached. And somebody went over to her afterwards and said, "Goodness, that was powerful. Are you okay?" And she said, "When I got to that part, I didn't expect this. I didn't expect this. I hadn't planned this. I'd read it over at home. Yes, we could tell. I read it and I practiced it. When he said, 'Mary,' I swear I heard him say my name." I learned years later, years after the fact, that during that period in her life, her home life was falling apart. She was having a very difficult time. Everything was slipping away from her. And in that moment, even though it was Easter, even though the sun was shining outside, there wasn't a cloud in the sky, the storms were brewing where she was, and she heard the risen Lord say her name, come to her in the midst of her tears and her pain. Jesus comes, yes, to celebrate, but also to join us where we hurt, where we are, where we live. Remember that when we say, "Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia." In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. We've heard the Easter proclamation that you are risen, O God. but not everything right now feels like a celebration. Come to us anyway, where we are behind locked doors, where we are in pain, where we are afraid, where we just don't know, where we doubt. Come to us and say to us, peace be with you. Amen.